Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
What's up, Gypsy gang? We are back for another episode of the Gypsy Tales podcast. And as always, stoked to bring you guys these podcasts. And my guest today is none other than the newest recruit of the Star Racing Factory Yamaha team, Danger Boy Hayden Deegan. Pretty stoked on this one, man. It's pretty, I guess, a rare opportunity that we all have to watch a young kid grow up in the sport and basically kind of have it all out there. We've all been following Danger Boy since he was on a 50. This week, they just announced a massive move from KTM to Star Racing Yamaha. And we were lucky enough that the guys wanted to come on the podcast and I guess explain how the whole deal went down. And it was just super cool, man. We spoke to Hayden in, I think it was May. And then obviously now a little bit later in the year, and it's just like you can just tell how much he's grown up in just the last 6 months. And, you know, like picking for a factory team to ride for, and I guess all the stuff that he's been through. We really are seeing a kid grow into a young man before our eyes. So I hope you guys all enjoy this episode. I hope it's informative with a young guy that I'm pretty sure we're all going to be hearing a lot more from in the coming years. But before we get into this episode, just a message from our awesome sponsors. Well, seeing as this is a podcast with young 15-year-old Danger Boy Deegan, I'm assuming that if there's any young 15-year-olds listening to this, then you might actually be in need for your first set of manscaping supplies, I guess you could say. And look, take it from Uncle Gypsy, guys. You want to do it right from the start. I've been shaving those things for a while. I've seen it all. Blood, sweat, tears, literally. So with this Manscaped 4.0 perfect package, you're going to alleviate yourself of all of those woes. The Performance Package 4.0 is by far and away the best in the business. This hygiene bundle includes the Lawnmower 4.0, the Weed Whacker, boxers, travel kit, and liquid formulations. And if you want to smell good everywhere, the Refined Cologne by Manscaped is a clean and fresh scent designed for the refined gentleman much like yourself. On top of everything, they've even thrown in the Shed travel bag to carry your goods and the Manscaped anti-chafing boxer briefs to hold the entire package together. Once again, you can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GypsyGang at manscaped.com. During the winter, you may be spending more time inside with your balls, so you might as well make them beautiful. We're brought to you by the guys at mxstore.com.au, Australia's largest dirt bike parts and accessories website. Massive supporters of this podcast for a long time and massive supporters of just motocross and off-road riding in general in Australia. Once again, if you're listening to this episode, the day it comes out, we will actually be at the Gold Coast Cup. Another example of the MX Store crew getting behind the grassroots level of racing. I will be leaving the studio right now to go to MX Store to do the click and collect. If you live in Southeast Queensland, you can do the click and collect option at their Burleigh Superstore. If not, don't despair. If you order before 2 p.m. On the weekday, you get same-day shipping. So once again, mxstore.com.au, and hopefully we see everybody at the Gold Coast Cup this weekend. We are also brought to you by the guys at Fist Handwear. The guys and girls, actually, they've got a full posse making sure that the best gloves in the world get shipped direct to your door, no matter where you are in the world. The guys there do an amazing job, and Chapter 16 is as good as Fist has ever been. You can head to fisthandwear.com, use the code GypsyGang. That is going to get you 15% off. That code works no matter where you are in the world. I personally run the Breezer gloves. They are my favorite for Chapter 16. They've just launched the Breezers that I've been running for a little while. So they are my favorite gloves. If you want to get onto fisthandwear.com, have a search for the Breezers and maybe you'll feel inclined to pick them up. Summer here in Australia, so the Breezers are going to come in handy. If you're listening to this in America, they also do their cold weather glove as well, which is awesome. I wear that when I'm on the road bike in the morning. So once again, fisthandwear.com, code GypsyGang is going to get you 15% off. You are going to get 15% off as well when you use the code GypsyGang at rivalinkdesignco.com. These guys are the best in the business. No matter where in the world you are listening to this podcast, go to rivalinkdesignco.com, get online and check out these guys. They do some of the best work, I think, in the industry. They're definitely innovators when it comes to the graphic space. It's why we love working with them. Also been known to knock down a beer or two, and they will be at the track ripping as well. So the crew at Rival really do live what they sell, and it comes through in their products. So once again, rivalinkdesignco.com, use code GypsyGang. It's going to get you 15% off, and make sure you sign up for their CRF 110 giveaway when they hit 100k. They're getting so close. You can also sign up for that on the website as well. All right, that's it for the ads for this episode. Enjoy this little chat with Danger Boy. From the gang called Gypsy. Gang and they come and get gang. Gypsy. Gang and they come and get gang. Gang. I'm at a Gypsy gang. Gang. I'm at a Gypsy. All right, we're good to go.
We rolling, Rhodes?
Yeah.
All right. The newest recruit of the Star Racing Monster Energy Factory Yamaha team, Danger Boy Hayden Deegan. How's that sound, mate?
Yeah, it sounds sweet. It's a new adventure.
Yeah, man. It's been pretty cool to watch like the rollout that you guys have done. I think it's just played out cool the way that, you know, you got your KTM, like your 250 at Loretta's from KTM. And then it was like, I feel like everyone was pretty convinced that you were going to Star. And then you got the KTM 250 and then you started testing the factory bike. So I feel like it's been pretty fun for everybody to watch this whole process play out. But I'm sure it's probably a bit of a relief now that it's like out and you can just like get to work in a way.
Yeah, I know. We were like trying our best to make it like the biggest surprise because everyone obviously had their thoughts and everything. So it was kind of going back and forth so we could get everyone amped up when the release happened.
And it's actually crazy to me that it stayed so quiet because, I mean, I genuinely didn't know. Like your dad told me a couple days before, he's like, hey, we got a big announcement coming on Monday, and I was like, oh shit, okay. I didn't even really know that was going down at all. So it actually surprised me how quiet it kind of did stay. Did you get the feeling that a bunch of people kind of knew, or like were you worried that it would come out earlier than you guys getting to do the announcement?
Well, there was like a few other like little channels that were like releasing their information saying, trying to say where I was gonna go before I even had a contract signed. So I thought that was kind of funny anyways, but anyways, yeah, like I didn't sign the contract until like maybe like, it was only like honestly probably 2 weeks ago, if that, because I was at my sister's NASCAR race and I did it. So it was not a long time ago. There was a lot of people like, oh, he did it like at Loretta's or something. I'm like, no. So yeah, it's been a little bit of a wait.
The funny thing, I was actually going to text your dad this the other day. We posted that clip I was talking about with like the little segment that we had to cut out of the podcast. And then dude, just like 1,000 YouTube comments of people that know more about your deal than you do.
I know. I'll be like, dang, how that guy actually knows more than I know. That's awesome. So funny.
Yeah. It's like maybe we need to hire a couple of these dudes as like PR guys.
I know, it'd probably be honestly a good idea.
It's good though, man. Like, because I mean, I don't know how much you think about this kind of stuff, but it's pretty rad what you guys have going on in terms of, like, it's entertainment for people as much as it's, like, serious racer deal. Like, you're as serious and dedicated to racing as it gets, but you guys are also providing a lot of entertainment for people. Like, you're giving people a chance to follow along this crazy journey. And I honestly think it's cool that, like, you don't seem to play into the camera thing too much. Like, you can tell you're not sort of playing a character. It's probably just because it's been around you so long, you're just like, whatever, I'm over it. Like, I just be myself and then do my stuff and then the boys make the videos. But it is pretty cool the way that you guys are bringing everybody along. And it's like, it's serious racing, but then there's also this, like, entertainment. And I think that sometimes with racing, it gets taken so seriously that the, like, the average punter that just watches the races almost forgets that he is watching it just because he enjoys to.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, I have a few goals, you know, goal to obviously just have a goal and got to focus on that. So, like, it's cool to have the cameras around and stuff. But again, it's like they just kind of, you know, film, stay behind the window a little bit and get everything that's going on. But I got to keep focusing on what I'm trying to achieve.
Yeah, and I think that comes across too, like, because, I mean, it'd be easy to, like, really play into it and stuff, but I guess you guys are making so much content that it's just, like, this daily routine, like, you'd kind of get over it in a sense, not over it in a bad way, but over it in terms of, like, you're not trying to be anybody else.
Yeah, honestly, like, that's how it is. Like, I'll be, like, I basically almost film probably every day. Every time I'm riding, I always have the camera around. So it's definitely like at this moment now, it's like you almost sometimes don't even notice that the camera's around anymore because it's kind of natural and you're just trying to focus on what you're doing through your day.
How much does it help your riding to just have a camera around all the time? Because I feel like anytime I get to watch myself ride, that's when I actually improve because I can see what I'm doing wrong. And the fact that you are being filmed every single time you ride is pretty sick.
Yeah, I know. It's like at the Supercross and Motocross races, you obviously have a guy for each team that films your riders so you guys after can go study, like, what, okay, we need to change this, change that. And it's like I have that, like, every day able to film, like, my filmer's filming me on the Supercross track. Oh, I need to fix this. Like, I'll watch the videos after I'm done riding or the next day when they come out. And I'm like, okay, I see where I need to get my feet in here or change my posture through the whoops. It's like, it's constantly being able to study yourself.
Yeah. No, that is cool, man. It's a pretty gnarly benefit. So we'll talk about the Star deal. So your dad was pretty open about, like, wanting to stay at KTM. I'm sure you feel like nostalgia for KTM because it's like 8 years that you were there, and then they're obviously trying to keep you. Like, for you to make that decision to go to Star, like, what was going on in your head for, like, the last few months to try and make this decision?
Yeah, it was crazy. Again, like, at Loretta's, you know, obviously I wanted to perform the best so I can obviously impress the teams and get the best I can get a deal. So that was my focus at Loretta's, is obviously do as good as I can. And then it kind of came down to the time where I had to decide. And I obviously went to meetings with the teams and they all tell you, know, kind of what you want to hear. So it's like, oh, do I want to go here? Do I want to go here? And, like, I definitely wanted to stay with KTM because they're obviously a great team. And they obviously had my back a lot because I've been with them for 8 years. But it was just overall deciding what's going to be best for the future, not where I'm at the moment. And Star was that decision, so we went over to Star, and they honestly have the best training program. I hopped in, like, first week I signed the deal, I was already in Florida training, road biking over 170 miles in 3 days. So it was like, you're getting in shape and you're getting ready to, getting ready for these nationals coming up. So it was, you hop right into it, and there's no waiting around.
Yeah, man, it's pretty sick, and I love the way that you just attack training, dude, you know, because that's like the part of this whole process that's like the necessary evil, you know, like, and I'm sure that if everyone come together and everyone made, like, you get all the boys on every start line and be like, all right, we're not going to train, we're just going to ride. Everyone would be like, sweet, perfect, let's all do that. But you seem like a kind of guy that you want to embrace the grind. You're like, let's go. Let's just get this done.
Oh, 100%. Like, I used to train with Caleb Tennant, so I was fortunately one of the faster kids in the group. So there wasn't really much people that I could really chase after, because we had a lot of 85 and super mini kids in the group, and they were kind of chasing after me. So it was like really like hard to find like some more, I guess, speed to catch somebody, so I could just find who was at Paulo that day, try to chase him down or whatever. But right when you hop into Florida down here with all the star guys, you basically, I mean, there's a lot of guys on the team. You got eight probably roughly good dudes on the team you're lining up with. And I'm like right now not the fastest guy on the team, obviously. So I was probably, me and Romano, and we've been training together. So he's the other amateur kid, and right now I'm just chasing after him. So that's obviously going to make me a lot faster, chasing after somebody faster than me. It's going to work me, so I'm excited.
Yeah, and I think that's like kind of the other thing, because so for you, right, like you're the son of Brian Deegan, your sister's a famous NASCAR chick. It's like you've got a million subscribers on YouTube. You kind of like, everyone's criticism of you would be like, oh, here's this little rich kid that's just got everything handed to him. Like, that's the narrative that people could say about you, right? And then what do? You go, hey, I want to sign to the gnarliest team, and I want to be the slowest rider on their team, and I just want to try and get better. That's like the opposite of what a spoiled rich kid would do. So I think that, you know, in that lane, it's like, I think you signing this deal in particular, it sort of speaks a lot about like your character and like what you want to achieve and like how you see yourself, because yeah, like it's way more fun to be the man, right, than be the dude that everybody's waxing every day.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously I'm really grateful for the position I'm in, so it's just like you get thrown into like a training group like this, it's like you got to stay humble, and especially when guys are fast, and you got to stay really humble, because you can't be like, oh, I'm faster than you, when really you're not. So, yeah, I just like to stay humble and keep fighting till I get up to their pace. And that's the way it's going. I never want to be Trey, you know, like the cool kid or whatever it is, you know. I want to obviously stay back and, you know, just keep on grinding.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's a move, man. And yeah, to be like super young and to have that headspace, because you know, like we did the podcast with Jalik Swole the other day, and you know, he first year rookie season was like as bad as a rookie season could be. And then what he went back to was just like, it's all mental. It's all mental. It's all mental. Like, just get the mental game figured out. And it's like, to have the attitude that you got at that age, like, that's the move, man.
Yeah, definitely. And like, obviously there's a few kids in the amateur ranks that like act pretty cool, and I see like what people think of them. I'm like, oh, I don't want to be that kid, and I just try to, you know, stay humble too, because you never know. You go into the pro ranks like 250, you don't know where you're gonna stand exactly, so you got to stay humble coming to that obviously as well, because your rookie season, you never know. You could think you're gonna be going out there and hopefully winning, but you could again be getting shuffled back, because it's just such gnarly racing.
Yeah, man, definitely. So you got the 250F KTM, and then you did some testing for the factory team. What was the, like, forget about the deals and all that sort of stuff, what was it like the first time you rode a factory big bike?
Yeah, I know. KTM brought, like, a factory bike, because it was right before contract time, so they wanted to, you know, obviously test a good bike, see what I'm going to be riding. And, you know, you show up with the two KTM vans, it's all professional and stuff. Usually I just go to the truck, my van and dirt bike, and it was like, oh geez, like it's pretty cool, definitely getting around to be around those guys. Dungey's testing the KTM. It's like you're right next to like the big time guys. So bike was like, you hop on a pro bike, it's or a factory bike, it's a lot faster, a lot faster than your average mod bike. So you're like getting used to it and stuff. And it's just crazy. Everyone, you know, kind of all the team guys are watching. It's definitely a lot of pressure. But yeah, from there, it's just, you know, just trying to find your comfort zone on the bike and see what's best for you.
And what was the, like, what was your impressions of that factory KTM, like motor wise, suspension wise? Was it quite a big difference to what you were used to?
Yeah, definitely. I had my stock 250F at the moment, and Jamie did some mapping on it to give me a little more power. So I was riding a stock bike, and then when I test the factory bike, suspension was a lot stiffer. I had like the basic WP stuff built on it, so it wasn't like super stiff. And got on the KTM, super stiff, so we had to obviously soften the suspension up a little bit. But like motor-wise, it's like a whole different world when you get on a factory bike from a stock 250. It's like the power is crazy on those things. And especially KTM has a lot of mid to top power, so it like pulls gnarly, but overall it's pretty cool. And then you go to the Star bike, another factory bike, factory motor, and you get on that thing, and that thing's got the gnarliest torque I've ever ridden on a dirt bike. It's so sick. And obviously it has some gnarly mitted top, it pulls hard. But right when I got on that Star bike, I was like, dang, this is gonna make the decision a lot harder because this thing goes gnarly fast. Yeah, it was like crazy. So, I was like,
yeah. Oh, sorry, keep going.
No, you're good.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah, dude. So when I did the podcast with your dad, I was just like, "Have you ever ridden one of those YZ250s, man? Because like they're pretty ridiculous." I went and rode at Townley's in like 2019. I'd never ridden one of those bikes before. I was like, "What is this thing? Like, is this for real?" And it just turns out it was just a stock Yamaha 250. And I was like, okay, this makes a lot of sense why the Star bikes are so good, because you get like this base package and this base motor that's insane. So obviously when you start modding that thing, it's going to turn into a monster. And then that's pretty much how it worked out for you. You were just like, what the hell?
Yeah, I know. I was like, dang, this thing's crazy, because obviously I went back to Florida and tested their race bike like they use for the 250 class and pros to get a good feel on it. And it was just like, you just every corner wheeling out of everything. I was like, dude, this thing's so sick. But obviously a lot of the good bikes are really close too in pro racing, because they got to make it obviously as close as they can, so they're up front. But the Star bike definitely was crazy.
Yeah, and then the first time you rode it, that the track was deep too, man. Like super, super deep.
Yeah, definitely. On the KTM, the track wasn't as deep because I rode Paula and Glen Helen, so it was more fast speed. And when I rode the Star bike in Florida, they had the track tilt, so it was just definitely rings your ears. Like I rode the factory bike and it's so loud, it like I had to wear earplugs because you're just pulling, you're going wide open through that soft stuff, and it's ringing your ears because it's such a gnarly power and just so loud. But it just like pulls through everything. It's so nice.
Yeah, and then I can imagine going into Supercross, just having that power everywhere that you want it. It's got to make you kind of more confident.
Yeah, definitely. Star bike on Supercross is outrageous. I rode Supercross for the past 2 days. It's got the gnarliest torque. Like, you mess up its section, you just get a little clutch right in the transition, you're back tripling. It's like, it's a nice Supercross bike.
So I saw on the video at one point, like, Ferrandis is out on the track, and I'm sure there are a bunch of other guys run. It actually looked like you did a lot of laps that that first day that you rode Supercross. How do you reckon, obviously you're not trying to be speed-wise, like, you're not going all the way as fast as you can, and that's not the plan, and it's not the move for you to just go out and try and go that fast first day. But was there, because, I mean, there's got to be a point where you're like, you wake up in the morning and you know you're about to ride Supercross for the first time on your factory bike, you got to be a little bit like, shit, man, like, can I do this? So what was it like, your expectations wise, and then did you see the speed they were going and think like, oh, I can eventually do that?
Yeah, I watched like Colt Nichols, Dylan, and I sat there before I went on road, just watched them go through the whoops. They got some crazy whoop speed, and then just seeing Colt's like burn, how he hit the turns, how hard he hit them, and like seeing how he races Supercross, and it's like, oh, that kind of makes sense. He's hitting the turns that hard. Probably gives me a good reason why he's obviously up front. So I was kind of just going to give that to myself to go out in the Supercross track and kind of copy what Colt was doing. Not to the pace he was going, obviously, because not up there yet, but just got out in the track and just try to be smooth the first day on the bike. So just getting the track figured out, and we practiced the whoops a lot because I was trying to get those dialed on the 250. First time I ever rode the Supercross track on a 250, and got thrown on the gnarly fast bike. So it was a fun time getting to hit all the fat rhythms, and those bikes handle crazily good. Like, you'll clip a rhythm, barely feel it. Like, the suspension's just crazy. Going through the whoops, handles like super nice, and you got the suspension guy there too with you, watching you do the whole track. So he obviously watches me through the whoops. Oh, we'll make this change, we'll do this. It's sweet.
It honestly just sounds like fun. Like, that sounds just like a fun day of riding.
Yeah, it's crazy, you know? Everyone's just watching you, and you're getting ride with the factory guys. It's like, how would you ever want to give this up?
Yeah, well, you're one of those factory guys now. It's like, you're saying like, oh, you get to ride with the factory guys. It's like, hey, you're the factory guy now too.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy getting to ride with these guys and be one of the guys. So it's definitely a good path.
So Swanee, did you know Swanee that much before you signed the deal and like come out here? Or
I knew Swanee a little bit. I seen him at the tracks, and Caleb and Swanee are, I believe, from South Africa both. So Caleb talked about him a little bit. And looking at the different teams, I knew who his trainer was. And he came and talked to me a few times here and there just to see how it's going. So I kind of knew who he was, but nothing crazy until I really came out here to Florida and started training with him.
Yeah, he is a really, really cool dude. And he knows his shit, man. Like, we were talking before we started recording that advice. I loved that clip. And the way that he sort of said to you, he was just like, hey, man, if you get this figured out now, it's going to really help your career. That's just like, that's some really legitimate OG advice from that guy. And you could see, like, I kind of got the vibe of what he was saying about basically, like, you want to get into this body position before the whoops and then just, like, lock yourself in, stay in that position and just go through them. And then it was cool to, like, see you instantly take that on board and just like do run after run after run through the whoops.
Yeah, it's good when someone can see something in you that is not perfected yet. Like, Swanee found a few things in me that needed to be fixed, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot more things that down the road will have to be fixed, but one of those was getting into the whoops, and that stuff right there will lead to a better career later down the road in Supercross, because it'll lead to better technique, and you know that leads to better pace through the whoops. So definitely needed that, and it's gonna help me a lot.
Yeah, man. And so what's like had you been to the goat farm before you went like your first day with Star?
No, I've never been to the goat farm. I only seen it on like some of Ricky's videos, because that's where he grew up. So yeah, and it was funny, yesterday when we were training, Ricky's mom came and trained us because Swanee had something going on. So she comes and trains us as well, and she's definitely into it. It's super cool seeing Ricky's mom still being a part of the program. Ricky came out and watched. They're all still a part of the facility, you know? And she like, we were doing a section in it. We had to get our fastest lap time. We did it like 10 times. We got our fastest lap time. And we had to get that same lap time or under it 2 times in a row. And she kept us going and going and going until we got that lap time. And eventually we got down to it, but it was just crazy how she's bringing it to us on how she raised Ricky. So it's definitely something crazy.
Yeah, man. I got like Townley's told me stories when he went there to live with Ricky, and they would basically just do these like sections, or like what you said, where you got to do your fastest lap time out of 10 laps and you got to get it twice in a row. And yeah, Townley's just got these like horror stories of her just like grinding him until he got it, and it sometimes took like hours, and he's like, I was so mad while I was riding, like just so angry because I couldn't do it, the track's getting rougher, and then you've got to get a faster lap time. He's like, it just mentally cooks you, but then you get it and then you're like, oh wow, this was the move.
Yeah, definitely. Stuff like that too makes you overall just a better rider and a stronger rider, doing those things too, like keep fighting through it. And it would relate to like supercross races, you know, you can't get that lap time or anything, just keep fighting, or you got to get these positions, keep fighting. And that's what I think she like tries to relate to a lot.
Yeah, because it is hard to simulate that stuff, especially when you're just doing it every single day. Like you're about to enter this grind now in your life, and I mean, you've been grinding the whole time, it's not like you've been taking it easy. But I think now, you know, you're about to enter this next kind of like 10-year period where your life is just going to be given to this dream that you've got. And if you can keep that focus for the next 10 years, and if you can stay healthy and just tick all the right boxes, then you're going to get to where you want to be. And it's all of those kinds of things, because it sort of just becomes like a mental game, you know, like how can you simulate racing when you're just going to the same track every day for 10 years? How can you keep that, you know, like that fight? So to have someone like her around, and then, you know, this, just the whole team in general, that they've produced these results before, it sort of makes it easier for you just to like do your job, you know?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of motivating people there too at the track, because you got Justin Cooper, Colt Nichols, Dylan. Those guys are all champions, so they know what needs to go down to be a champion. So being around them is a big help. And I got all my yearly goals written out, and I just try to pursue those. And if I keep my head where it needs to be and stay grinding, I think I can pursue those when I'm older.
Yeah, for sure. What, when you say you write down your goals, like where do you write that stuff down?
Like on my computer, I write like my yearly goals down. Just type them and then print them, and just like I have them in my backpack, so just check them over every here and there, see if I'm still in line.
That's sick. What sort of like, to what level do you write goals down? Is it only just like race results, or do you have like personal goals as well, or?
Yeah, some of my goals are like being a better person on and off the track, you know, just myself acting good and staying humble and just being a respectful kid. That's one of the goals. And, you know, the other goal on track wise is just to never give up, keep fighting, and have a goal for the nationals too, like what I want to go do and win. So, and just how I'm going to do that. So those are kind of my goals that I want to achieve.
Yeah, man, I think one of the like powerful things that maybe not a lot of people do in life or figure out is that like there's like this accountability, right? So you put yourself out there. So you're like, all right, I'm Hayden Deegan. I've just signed this contract and I want to go dominate at Minios. It's like, that's like a gnarly thing to say. And most people would be scared of saying that, because if you don't do it, then, you know, you can get in your head and be like, fuck, if I don't win, if I don't dominate, I said I was going to do it. So it's like, it's hard to put that much pressure on yourself, but it's like, that's what champions do, right? They like go out on a limb and they attach their name to something, and then it's like a pretty bold goal, and then they just like stay committed to doing it. Does it just feel natural to you to like make those big claims and then just work your ass off to back them up? Like, how much of that is, you know, a part of your process?
Yeah, it's like I may not go win mini O's. Like it could go both ways, but my goal is to grind all the way and work to what I want to, like work for what I want to do at mini O's and put my best effort into it so I can go and attempt to do that, I could say. But my goal is to mentally say I want to go win so I can mentally just keep fighting for it.
It's hard though, like, maybe it's not hard for you, but I think a lot of people do find it hard to really put a goal in their head and then put it in other people's head too, because it's scary when you say something and, you know, like you have to face the fact, like you said, it could go either way. Sometimes the easier road is just not to say anything. But are you really going to work as hard if you haven't put yourself out there and you haven't said what you want to do?
Yeah, that's kind of how I am. I feed off the pressure. I like and you know, there's those people on Instagram that doubt you here and there. They just give you the pressure, and I just kind of feed off of that, and that's what kind of keeps me grinding.
Yeah, well, you look at a guy like Cooper Webb, you know, he's that dude. He just makes those big calls, writes red plate on his pit board, talks shit on the start line. It's like, yeah, man, if you want to, like, I guess you've got to kind of speak those things into existence sometimes, right?
Yeah, definitely. You just got to put your mind to it, kind of.
So you pretty stoked to be done with two strokes now?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big step from a two-stroke to a four-stroke because it's a whole different power ratio. It's like going from a two-stroke, you gotta really flow the bike because two-strokes don't like just have that instant or like power like the four-stroke. So it was, I may not be completely done with the two-stroke. Who knows? I might make a sick two-stroke video or something. But at the moment, I'm kind of done with the two-stroke. Been on it for about 8 to 9 years now. So it's time to just figure this four-stroke out.
Yeah, it is cool though. Like, I'm sure there'll be a point where you look back at the footage of, say, like Loretta's, when you're like this massive dude on this super mini and you're just smashing that thing around the track. Like, because I mean, when you get on a 450, it's like you just can't ride like that. So I'm sure there's probably going to be a point when you're looking back at your, like, last year at Loretta's, being like, damn, I miss being able to ride a dirt bike like that, where you could just like smash the entire track.
Yeah, where you just throw it around. Like the Super Mini, I got pretty big on it. So you just throw it around kind of like through the bumps. You could like hop through them and stuff, which now on the big bike, I'm going to be like not as big as I was on the Super Mini. So I'm going to have to kind of use the power to hop bumps more and definitely use the suspension to my advantage and I'm not going to be so dominant on the bike anymore. It's going to be me just having to be smart with the bike.
Yeah, yeah. Well, man, won't keep you too much longer, but appreciate you coming on. It's always cool to talk to you, man. I'm definitely a fan from over here, and I think it's rad. I just think the effort that you put in is what's cool. You know, like, you really care, you really try hard, and I think that, you know, like we said, people can talk shit and they'd be like, kids got everything. Hey, you can't teach the desire that you have, and you can't teach, like you said, you love pressure. So I think keep that up, man. Like, as much as I feel like it's just in you in general, like, that's just who you are. But it's cool, man. And I think that's the thing over time you can be known for, you know, like right now you're still doing, you know, Brian Deegan's kid, and like people can still say that, but there's going to be a point if you keep going with like this mental attitude, like you are a savage, like mentally you are a little savage, and over time I think that's going to be like the dominating narrative, like that's going to be the story that people say. They're gonna be like, this Deegan kid is a little animal, like so it's cool to see that, and like that's what I'm a fan of, man, like in your riding, is just like you can just see you're a little savage, and I think that's the shit that's gonna win championships and races down the line. So don't stop that, and keep doing your thing, man. And it's really cool to watch this journey that you're on, you know.
Yeah, thank you, appreciate it. Just gonna keep grinding my way up there, and maybe one day we'll be winning some Supercross titles and outdoor titles. So we're just gonna keep doing our thing.
And man, not to mention, I feel like I know for a fact, like, just because I see our YouTube comments so much, I've got a lot of comments. Like when we posted the video of, we posted your dad's podcast and your podcast for the first time. And then even that clip we posted the other day, so many people comment and say, I got a dirt bike because of the Diggins YouTube channel. So, I mean, regardless of even like winning and all that sort of stuff, like just the amount of people that you guys have got stoked on dirt bikes, and you know how much fun you have riding a dirt bike with your dad and you know, your brother. And it's just like, you've given that to so many people as well. So even, dude, racing aside, like that's just a good thing to be involved with.
Yeah, I love just to influence kids, you know, to go ride, no matter what bike you have, honestly, just to go out there, ride, have fun. And especially little kids, you know, a lot of them just want to sit on video games. It's cool to influence them to go outside and ride dirt bikes and stuff. It's a lot different than anything that a lot of people do.
Yeah, definitely, dude. Well, yeah, good luck for Minios, man. I'll obviously be watching, and yeah, hopefully you can go get it done there. But either way, man, it's going to be super cool.
Sweet, thank you. You want my dad to come on?
Yeah.
All right, appreciate it.
Talk to you soon, brother.
All right, I'll see you later. Thanks.